I'm going to invite you to the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 this morning again. And as we go to fourth chapter of 1 Peter, we're going to continue to go in this message that we had, that I started last week, called by God to do His will. We're going to read verse 1 through 4 here this morning, and then going to the word of the Lord. It says here, "Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to these, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you." We're going to stop right there. We're going through the book of 1 Peter on our Sunday morning studies here and teaching. And we are as far as verse 4 here in chapter 4 of 1 Peter. And last week, I felt led by the Lord to just talk about being called by God to do His will. Because we read here in verse 2 that we are called to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of the Lord. This is what God is calling us to do. And if we look at the commandment of God through this passage, we're called to do His will. And in order to accomplish the will of God, we must experience His call in a personal way. There's no other way to accomplish the will of God unless we're really called by God in a personal way. How many of you know that it is more than just believing? Christianity is more than just believing in God. How many of you know that? I mean, people believe in God. Okay, believing in God is one thing, but are you called by God? When Jesus went to Lazarus, and Lazarus knew Jesus before he died, he believed in Jesus as sent by heaven before he died, but you think that when Jesus went and called Lazarus out of that tomb after 4 days being dead, and he came back to life, you think his life was different after that? I mean, he believed in Jesus, but you know, do you think he lived his life in a different way after that moment? Do you think he had a call of God in his life to proclaim the gospel and to testify of what Jesus Christ had done in his life? And I was thinking about this, you know, the call of God in our lives, and call people know their identity, and call people know their mission in life. And as we fulfill the call of God in our lives, we must realize the amazing privilege and the responsibility of the call of God in us. Let me invite you to go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And look at this passage about the call of God in our lives. Verse 26. Chapter 1, verse 26. "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards." Consider your calling. There is a calling, and you are to consider that calling. "Brothers, not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are." Think about this. Every one of us is going in a battle. You know, we are experiencing different struggles and different challenges in life. But you know, as we consider the call of God in our lives, and as we realize that He's the one who chose us to do something beyond our own ability, beyond our own strength, you know, or the capacities that we have, we will fulfill the purpose of the Lord and we will have victory. Amen? That's what the Bible is telling us. That. Now, look in verse 29. "So that no human being might boast in the presence of God. It's all by the glory of God and for His purpose and for His glory." And then in verse 30, "And because of Him you are in Christ." Because of God and the call of God, we are in Christ. And if we are in Christ, we are more than conquerors. Amen? We are more than conquerors through Christ. And whatever God is calling us to fulfill, we'll be doing what He's calling us. Now, it says, "Christ, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. If we are able to do anything, it is only by the strength of God and by the power of God in our lives. And because He called us in a personal way and we are following His purpose. Call people know their purpose. We have a mission. God give us a mission. It's not longer that we just believe in God, but now we're moving forward into what God is calling us to be. God is calling us to do. Whether we're teaching the Word of God, or we're a husband or a wife, you know, son or daughter, in our job, we have a call. God is calling us. God is calling us to be different. God is calling us to make a difference. God is calling us to fulfill His will. And you know, when we were here last week, I talked a little bit about the call of God. And when we realize that God is calling us, this call must supersede personal ambition. It goes beyond our own desires, our own ambitions and plans and goals that we might have in life. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. We don't focus on the things of this world. We are following the call of the Lord. And we look at a man in kind of a long, you know, through the book of Jeremiah. We look at the life of Jeremiah and the call of Jeremiah. And we're going to continue doing this this morning, looking at the call of Jeremiah and just seeing how this prophet, you know, was called by God to fulfill a mission, a purpose. And he experienced a lot of opposition, a lot of challenges. Yet because God made a personal call in his life and because he was fulfilling the purpose of God, he was able to accomplish everything that God had told him to do. And if you go with me to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. It says there in verse 5, before I form you, God is speaking to Jeremiah, and he says, before I form you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. This is who you are, Jeremiah. You are a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, don't say I am only a youth. For to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Obviously, Jeremiah was battling fear right there. And the Lord came and says, I am with you. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. There is a call of me, God is saying to Jeremiah, in your life. And you will do what I'm calling you. And that's what makes the difference in the life of Jeremiah. In everything he did, that was what set the tone right there in the beginning of his ministry, the call of God. Now, the call of God in the life of the prophet Jeremiah did not produce any apparent earthly prophet. He was doing what God is calling him, and really, he saw the word of God saying, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, in verse 10, to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build and to plant. You're going to be my man. You will accomplish things. But really, as he went forward, you know, he experienced so much challenges. He had no people following him. Nobody believed what he was saying. They really wanted to kill him, but God was with him. God had called him, and he was on a mission. And go with me to chapter 11 here in Jeremiah, verse 18. Chapter 11, verse 18, it says, the Lord made it known to me, and I knew. Then you show me your deeds, but I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not know it was against me. They devised a scheme, saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more. So they were trying to stop him, to cut him off from what he was doing. And God showed what was going on. And then in verse 20 it says, but O Lord of hosts, who judges righteously, who tests the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the men of Anathoth, and this is where Jeremiah was from, who seek your life and say, do not prophesy in the name of the Lord, or you will die by our hand. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword. Their sons and their daughters shall die by famine, and none of them shall be left, for I will bring disaster upon the men of Anathoth, the year of their punishment. Do you think Jeremiah had a hard call in his life, a strong call in his life, and a difficult call? Now, look at the opposition. People from his hometown, from the place where he grew up, they were planning to kill him, to destroy him. And God is giving him this message that is difficult to bear. But you know, Jeremiah, although he doesn't seem to be making any change, he's fulfilling the call of God. And some of the things that God called Jeremiah to do, they were difficult. You know, when you come to the Lord and God wakes you up and he gives you new life and you are born again, you know, through the Spirit of God, believe me, there's a cost that you have to make. There's a payment that you have to make. And that doesn't mean salvation includes a cost, but really God is calling you to surrender everything. You know, there's a cost in Christianity, which sometimes we don't want to talk about because we don't want to be negative. But if we really look at the gospel, you know, the gospel is clear that we have to surrender everything and we have to follow the ways of God. We have to do what he's calling us to do. Now, in chapter 16 of Jeremiah, his call, you know, implied that he had to do many things differently than everybody else did. In verse 1, it says, the word of the Lord come to me, Jeremiah says, and he says, you shall not take a wife, nor shall you have sons or daughters in this place. Think about this. No personal ambition of you is to be fulfilled. If you wanted it to get married or have children or have a family, you've been set apart for something greater, major. But that means you're going to have to surrender a lot. And in verse 3 it says, for thus says the Lord concerning the sons and daughters who are born in this place, and concerning the mothers who bore them, and the fathers who fathered them in this land, they shall die of deadly diseases. They shall not be lamented, nor shall they be buried. They shall be as dung on the surface of the ground. They shall perish by the sword and the famine, and their dead bodies shall be food for the birds of the air and for the beasts of the earth. This is the condition of the future, what's coming up. And Jeremiah is called to proclaim this. Not only that, he's called to do and to live in a very different way. So, you know, the call of God supersedes personal ambition. And that's really what we were reading in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 2, you are to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions. Human passions, not necessarily something evil or wrong, but you know, personal ambitions. I mean, there are so many things that we want to accomplish in life, so much we want to experience, but how much is it the will of the Lord in us? Are we seeking His will? Are we surrendering to Him and asking Him, Lord, what have You called me to do and to be? And there is, in many of us, a drive for personal success. There is a desire for something out of life. And we want to achieve. There are personal desires, family goals, and even ministry ideals that we have. But we got to remember, God is giving us a personal goal. Amen. You're not going to live my call. I'm not going to live what God is calling you to live. You know, you have a personal and different call. And in that call, the call of God, you are to give it all and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Now, in verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, for the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. The will of the Lord is that we don't do these things anymore. Amen? We have come to Christ, and when we are focused, when we are planning, when we want to be intentional in our walk, you know, we want good things, and sometimes that they're not necessarily the things that God wants us to do. But when we're not focused, you know, if we're not aiming to anything in life, you know this, that we will tend to do the lowest of the lowest, right? We're like water. I mean, water will find the lowest spot in a room or in a bucket, or if you throw a bucket of water, water will run to the lowest place. And if we're not aiming to to fulfill the will of the Lord, we will end up doing these things. Immorality, you know, deepest corruptions of the world, living according to the wickedness of the flesh, and not pleasing the Lord. And actually what God is telling us here is, you don't do these things, the things of the flesh. And also, you don't follow the passions of the flesh. In fact, what we read is, people should be surprised. When they see how you live, they should be wondering what's going on in your life. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4. We read it right there. It says, with respect to these, the world, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. They persecute you. They don't agree with you. They think you're weird. You're different. What are you doing? Why are you living like that? So we are to follow the Lord in the purpose that God is calling us, and we are to supersede our personal ambition. But not only that, God's purpose must supersede popular trends. There is so many things that the world is doing. The churches are changing the way they do things because they want to look like the world. You think that's happening in our day? I mean, the way we approach Christianity, the way we share the gospel, the way we do worship, we are under so much pressure. Keep it short. Keep it simple. Keep it positive, okay? And make people feel comfortable when they come to church. But you know, when you go to the Word of God, the message is difficult. It's not just positive, is it? If you're going to give good news to people, you have to start with the bad news. Amen? And if you start with the bad news, you're not going to be popular. This is not what you do anymore. This is not the style that people want to see and listen to in church. So this is what Jeremiah is experiencing in the same way. Go with me here to Jeremiah chapter 6 now. Jeremiah was called to proclaim the message of God in a time of apostasy, materialism, and deception. And I really think this is not different right now, is it? In the place where we are now, in the world in which we are. Look in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13. Look what God is telling Jeremiah here. For from the least to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. Jeremiah was prophesying in a time of prosperity. And everyone was greedy. And it says, from the prophet to the priest, everyone deals falsely. There was apostasy taking place. People was walking away from the truth. And then in verse 14, they have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. The message was a message that was bearable, that was acceptable, that made people feel good. Everything is okay. God loves us. We are the chosen people of Israel. We have the temple where God dwells, and that's really what they had. We have the prophets and the priests. And Jeremiah, your message is not popular. It's not popular. Sometimes it feels like when you want to stop a discussion or something, just bring the word of God up and everybody will be quiet. There was some members of our family just talking about what's going on in the world and all this, and they really want to know. And so the time came when I was just kind of tired of hearing that they don't know what the world is doing and where we're heading and all this. And why is this? And I said, you know what? There's a place in the Bible where really the Bible tells us where this is going. And it was just like dumping cold water on everyone there. Everybody got really quiet. And I thought you wanted it to know where the world is going. You know, there are some things that are not popular. Don't preach to us. Don't bring the Word of God into this matter, you know. We don't want to know anything about Christianity. We don't want to hear what you have to say to us. But, you know, Jeremiah is saying the way they're doing it, peace, peace, when there's no peace, is wrong. It's wrong. Verse 15, were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Were they repented? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be overthrown, says the Lord. They're not doing my will. And bring the gospel, bring the message forth and tell them the truth. And we're just looking at the message of Jeremiah. Jeremiah here, look at verse 15. What does he need to do in this situation? Chapter 15, verse 16. It says, your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name. There was a call in the life of Jeremiah. O Lord God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of revilers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because your hand was upon me, for you had filled me with indignation. He saw the situation. The message was joyful and delighting in the heart of Jeremiah, but the conditions of the land brought him indignation. Why is my pain unceasing? Jeremiah says, "What, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fell? He was wondering, God, are you real to me? Strengthen me. And he was at times, you know, being afraid of proclaiming the gospel, the message that God was giving him there. Now, in verse 19, he says, therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, I will restore you. And you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall be as my mouth. Don't follow popular trends. Don't go with the flow. Continue focus in me. Set your eyes on me, Jeremiah. And if you return, I restore you. If you stand before me, I will do what I'm calling you to do. And it says, they shall turn to you, but you shall not turn to them. And I will make you to these people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, and they shall not prevail over you, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you, declares the Lord. I am with you. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. Stand strong. Be faithful to the message. Obey the call of God. In the life of the prophet Jeremiah, there was a constant risk of surrendering to the pressure of the people. Do you think we have that pressure right now? In the same way. There's a pressure to surrender, to lighten up a little, to not be so harsh, to not just be so literal, too literal with the Word of God. But you know, he was called to be consistent and to always follow the commandment of the Lord. Do my will, Jeremiah. Do my will. Don't do what the world is doing. Look in 1 John here. Just go forward with me. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15, 16, and 17. Talking about the will of the Lord. Do not love the world or the things of the world. And you know, this culture, this society, the world, just popularity and the things that work, the things that are common. Don't love those things. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride of life, is not from the Father, but it is from the world. So you got to understand what the source of popularity is very often. And it says in verse 17, and the world is passing away along with its desires. It's falling down. But whoever does the will of God, this is the will of God, that you obey Him, that you love God, that you stay away from the things of this world. Whoever does the will of God abides forever. How many of you want to abide forever? We need to be strong. We need to not be converted to the world. We need to not change our ways. We need to fulfill what God is telling us to fulfill. So the call of God or God's purpose must supersede popular trends, and the call of God must supersede worldly success. The things of this world, what people think is successful in this world, we're not chasing that. We're not following that. You know, in the eyes of people, we may be just, they may pity us and say, you know, poor Christians, poor, I mean, this is what they believe. But that's okay. If we're following the Lord, we are successful. Amen? Amen. Think about Jesus. He was not successful according to the eyes of the world, was he? He didn't have mansions. He didn't have any money. He didn't have any power according to society. Not to the Jews and not to the Romans either, you know. Who did he have? He had 12 men who one of them was a traitor. And then the other ones gave up in the moment of crucifixion. And at one point in time, Jesus was alone. But think about this. Because he fulfilled the purpose of God in his life, he was successful. Amen. He accomplished what God was calling him to accomplish. He died for everyone. And through him we have life now. And we can see. Now, when he was perceiving at some point in time that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself because he knew what his call was.
He knew who he belonged to. He knew what he was supposed to do. He didn't came to fulfill a passion or a dream of this world. He was not to be the king or the popular in this world. In fact, at some point in time, he stopped his popularity when he told them what they're supposed to do. He says, if anyone of you want to be my disciple, you should love me more than your father and mother, and me more than your wife and your sons and your daughters, and you should hate even your own life if you want to be my disciple. And you know, when he gave them the message, the true message of God, people rejected him. But he was faithful to the call of God because he was not looking for worldly success. So what are the things that really matter? What are the things that we're seeking in our lives? What are the desires that we are to be putting in our hearts according to the Word of God? You know, we have a stewardship. Called people understand stewardship. It's not our own ideals. It's not our own dreams and plans. But it is actually everything that is according to the Word of God. God is calling us to be Christians, to know Him. We talked about it a little bit last week. To know Him and to make Him known. God is calling us to proclaim the message of the gospel as Jeremiah was in that time. Anything that is building and edifying and for the benefit of spiritual transformation of the life of people, that's what we're called to do. Amen? If we are able to bring someone to the Lord, if we are able to proclaim the truth to them so that they will accept Jesus Christ, if we are able to disciple someone, that's what God is calling us to do. That is our call. Now, call people submit themselves not to their own ideas, but to the purpose of the Lord, regardless of the challenges they face. And that's who Jeremiah was. Jeremiah was commanded to prophesy to the people. In chapter 1 of Jeremiah, let's go back to Jeremiah 1. We see this. Verse 17, it says, "You dress yourself to work, for work. Arise and say to them, everything that I command you, everything. Don't cut it short. Don't add anything to it. Don't be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And I behold, I make you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and bronze walls. Against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its official, the priest and the people of the land, they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you." So you stand strong. And if you stand strong, I will be with you and make you successful in what I'm calling you to do. In chapter 18, if you go with me to chapter 18, verse 18. Look at the opposition that Jeremiah is having. Verse 18, "Then they say, come, let us make plots against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, let us strike him with the tongue. Let us not pay attention to any of his words." Don't listen to him. Let's confuse him. Let's make him angry. Let's tell him that what he's saying is not really the truth. We're not going to believe him. But Jeremiah is to be focused on what God is calling him to do, because he is a steward of God's call. And whatever God is calling us to do, you know, whether it's popular or not, whether it's fitting with the world or not, we are to be strong and to fulfill the call of God. And we are to say, "God, I have a battle. My battle is not against flesh and blood. I know that the enemy is out to get me. He wants to detain me. He wants to stop me from doing what you're calling me to do. And if I am going to be successful, I got to remember, this is not my own idea. This is your idea, God. I'm following your commandments. I'm doing what you're calling me to do. Whether you're a godly husband or godly wife, you're mentoring or discipling somebody, you're proclaiming the word of the Lord, you're worshiping God and leading other people to worship, you say, I'm going to do what God is calling me to do because He is giving me the strength to do it and He will be with me. It may not be what people want me to do. It may not be what my family want me to do. It may not be what everybody was expecting of me to do, but I am doing what God's purpose is in my life. And that's what Jeremiah is doing. So at times, you know, this shook Jeremiah badly because Jeremiah realized that the judgment of God and the message that he had was unbearable. But he continued to proclaim the word of the Lord. In chapter 4 of Jeremiah here, verse 5, when he realizes what's going on, actually in verse 9, we're going to just pick it up in verse 9.
Jeremiah is prophesying and he's saying, in that day, declares the Lord, courage shall fail both king and officials. The priests shall be appalled and the prophets astounded. He knew there was a moment when there was going to be destruction in the land of Judah and Jerusalem. And he saw this in verse 10. He said, then I said, Ah, Lord God, surely you have utterly deceived these people in Jerusalem, saying it shall be well with you, whereas the sword has reached their very life. You have promised these people they will be blessed and everything was going to go well with them. But as I look at the message, the prophecy, this is really difficult. You have deceived them. He's really struggling. He's challenged by the word. And in chapter 10, verse 19, we see this again, how he's struggling with that. Chapter 10, verse 19. He says, woe is me because of my hurt. My wound is grievous. But I say truly, this is an affliction and I must bear it. He's crying to the Lord of his pain because of the word of God. And in verse 24, he says, correct me, O Lord, but in justice, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. Don't punish me, but correct me. Don't leave us alone, God, anymore. Don't reject us, but correct us. And then in verse 25, he says, pour out your wrath on the nations that know you not, and on the peoples that call not on your name. For they have devoured Jacob. They have devoured him and consumed him and have laid waste his habitation. So he listens to the word of God. He loves the people. He cares for them. He struggles with what's going to take place, the declaration of God. And in a way he intercedes and he gets confused and he's like, Lord, are you really going to do these things? The judgment of God was unbearable, but he was continuing to proclaim the message of God. You got to realize, called people submit themselves to the Lord no matter what. Even whether the message is too heavy or the opposition is too big, you continue to do what God is calling you to do. Now also, called people never presume ownership of their work or the people of that work. They never say, you know, it was me who did it. I am famous. I am someone here. Jeremiah maintained humility when he was persecuted and did not elevate himself at the fact that he was the prophet of God. He just was humble to what God was calling him to do. Now, how did he accomplish all these things? When you go through the book of Jeremiah, when you see how he obeyed God, you know, called people maintain their commitment. How will they do that? How will they accomplish that? Because he had an overwhelming responsibility. The call of God gives overwhelming responsibility. I want you to go with me to chapter 20 here in Jeremiah. And I want you to see this. And if you look at this chapter, I will say that this chapter is really just a clear picture of how God accomplished everything through Jeremiah, how Jeremiah surrendered completely to God and fulfilled his responsibility. It says in verse 1, now Pashur, the priest, the son of Immer, who was chief officer in the house of the Lord, heard Jeremiah prophesying these things. So this is the leader of the religious movement of the temple there. This is the top official. And he heard Jeremiah. Then Pashur beat Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the upper Benjamin gate of the house of the Lord. The next day, when Pashur released Jeremiah from the stock, Jeremiah said to him, the Lord does not call your name Pashur, but terror on every side. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends. They shall fall by the sword of their enemies while you look on. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon. He shall carry them captive to Babylon and shall strike them down with the sword. Moreover, I will give all the wealth of the city, all its gains, all its prized belongings and all the treasures of the kings of Judah into the hand of their enemies, who shall plunder them and seize them and carry them to Babylon. And you, Pashur, and all who dwell in your house shall go into captivity to Babylon. You shall go and there you shall die and there you shall be buried, and all your friends to whom you have prophesied falsely. So Jeremiah was put in prison. He was beaten for what he prophesied. But after he came out, he still gave a word to this priest. Now look at him now praying to God. Oh Lord, you have deceived me. and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. It's almost like Jeremiah is struggling with the Lord, because God is putting him in a difficult situation, and he's not strong enough to fulfill the call of God. Now he says, I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whoever I speak, I cry out. I shout violence and destruction, for the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. So he was humiliated and mocked by the word of God because of the word of God, and he was ready to give up. And in verse 9 it says, if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones. Think about Jeremiah. What is leading Jeremiah to do the will of the Lord? To fulfill the call of God. He says, when I'm ready to give up, when I say I will not mention him or speak more in his name, there was in my heart a burning fire. It's a passion. Christianity is a call that requires a passion, a supernatural passion. Amen. If God is not with us, we're not able to accomplish anything in our own strength. What we see here in the life of Jeremiah is the message of God, the call of God, the responsibility is big, but yet God is with them to sustain them. You know, Christianity is not a profession. Christianity is not just a name tag that we have. Christianity should be a passion in our lives. Something that is leading us every day to get up and to do the commandment of the Lord, not only in our own lives, but also to proclaim it to other people. And we will not be able to do that in our own strength. It's impossible. For I hear many whispering, terrorists on every side. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. Say, all my close friends, watch him for my fall. There were people looking at Jeremiah and thinking he's about to fall. Perhaps he will be deceived. Then we can overcome him and take our revenge on him. See, God was sustaining Jeremiah. They knew they couldn't do much unless he will be overcome and deceived. And the way to overcome him was here in the mind, to confuse him and to make him think that he was not really called by God. But look at what he says. The Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who sees the heart of the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. He was committed to the Lord, and God was strengthening him. Look with me in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. This passion, the source of the Christian passion, is the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:15 says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. So you be careful how you live in a wise way. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We're talking about the will of the Lord. What is the will of the Lord in my life? Do not get drunk, verse 18, with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God is in us, the Spirit will control us and strengthen us and give us the ability to do what God is calling us to do. You know, if we are full of deception, we'll deceive other people, right? If we are sad, we'll be full of anxiety and fear and just depression. But if we are full of the power of God, the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to proclaim Him even when we feel like we don't want to do that. So the secret, the source of the strength in the Christian life is the power of the Holy Spirit. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, it says, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is the one that strengthens us and gives us the ability to continue. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, the Bible says, God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control.
If God is in us, if the Spirit of God is in us, we're not afraid of what's going on. We're not afraid of what's going to take place ahead. We're not shaking and wondering, what am I going to do with my life in the next 2-3 months or 2-3 years or 20 years? God is in full control of everything that is taking place. And if we are in Him, you know, we have the power to continue. We have the love to love other people. And we got the ability to be focused, to be self-controlled in the will of God, in the call of God. Amen. That's what God is calling us to do, to maintain that kind of commitment. Now, not only he had overwhelming responsibility, but the call of God gives us loving compassion, compassion for other people in the middle of any situation. And this is another beautiful thing in the character of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, although he was attacked very often, many times he interceded for the people of Judah in Jerusalem. He was asked by the people to inquire of the word of the Lord several times after he was mocked and persecuted for the message that he had previously given. But nevertheless, his commitment to the Lord and his compassion for the people allow him to not be offended and not take things personally. In Jeremiah 21, go with me there, Jeremiah 21. And look at the heart of this man. At this point in time, he's been proclaiming for a long time the word of the Lord and doing what is right, fulfilling the call of the Lord. They didn't listen to him, but now some things fulfilled that he prophesied in the past. And it says, this is the word that came to Jeremiah, verse 1, from the Lord, when King Zedekiah sent to him Pashur, the son of Malkiah, and Zephaniah, the priest, the son of Messiah, saying, inquire of the Lord for us, for Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, is making war against us. Perhaps the Lord will deal with us according to all his wonderful deeds and will make him withdraw from us. They wanted something positive. They wanted something that was different than what they heard before. But now there was some humility to some extent. And they say, you know, inquire the word of the Lord. And Jeremiah said in verse 3, thus you shall say to Zedekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. And the message was the same, really, but he's continuing to fulfill the call of God. He's not offended. He didn't say, you know, I'm not going to speak anymore to you. I'm not going to talk to you because everything that you've said to me in the past. In fact, in chapter 37, verse 1, we see that this again, same thing, said, it says there, Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah, reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim. But neither he, nor his servants, nor the people of the land listened to the words of the Lord that he spoke through Jeremiah the prophet. And King Zedekiah sent Jeukal, the son of Selemiah, and Zephaniah the priest, the son of Messiah, to Jeremiah the prophet, saying, please pray for us to the Lord our God. Pray for us. Now, Jeremiah was still going in and out among the people, for he had not yet been put in prison. And you know, you see, they come back to him and say, pray for us now. And he was praying for them. He will pray for them and he will intercede in the name of the Lord, because he didn't take things personally. He felt that this was the call of God. It was his commitment to fulfill the call. It was just a stewardship. And he said, I will fulfill what God is telling me to do. Now, this is what Jeremiah was. The call of God also gives us urgency, not to stop proclaiming, but even when they don't want to listen, we don't back down, but actually we tell them the truth. Jeremiah loyally prophesied the message of the Lord to the people. And when he was questioned, he always called the people to repentance. Look in Jeremiah 26 with me. Jeremiah 26, right here, actually verse 8, we're going to read verse 8 in ahead. It says that when Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, you shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without inhabitant? And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. They round him up. And when the officials of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and took their seat in the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord.
Then the priest and the prophet said to the officials and to all the people, "This man deserves the sentence of death, because he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your own ears." Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, "I'm sorry, I made a mistake." No, he didn't say that. He says, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words that I have heard. Now, therefore, mend your ways and your deeds, and obey the voice of the Lord, your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and its inhabitants. For in truth, the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears." Look at the strength of this man. The courage. The purpose. I mean, he was called by God. He never backed down. He knew that his life was in the line, but he didn't care. How many of you want to have that passion in your lives to fulfill the will of the Lord? You got to be in Christ. You got to have the Word of God, but you got to have the passion of the Spirit in you. And you got to say, "Lord, whatever you call me, give me the strength to fulfill. In my job, in my family, in the place where I work, in the places that I visit, you know, the people that I've talked to, allow me to be what you want me to be. Don't let me back down. And even when I have opposition and I am fearful inside and I tremble, Lord, I want to be able to tell that although I was fearing and I was ready to give up, your strength was in me, directing me and guiding me." What a powerful thing when we are completely surrendered to God and He's working through us and we become the vessel of God. That ought to be our prayer all the time, that God is with us, giving us direction. And you know, when the call of God is present in any man or woman, you will see them with godly strength, biblical orientation, and selfless love. Just compassionate for people. And I want to finish with this passage in Acts 20:24, when Paul is departing Ephesus. He's about to say bye to these people for forever. He knew that he wasn't going to see them anymore. And he says, "I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus. That's all I care for, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. This is my call. This is His will. And that's what I will do." Amen. Let's bow down and pray to the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, as we look at these characteristics, Lord, of a man and woman that is called by you, Lord, we want to know, Lord, that you're with us, strengthening us, guiding us, directing us in every way, Lord, as to do everything you're telling us. And Lord, I know that many of us here, Lord, are challenged and experiencing different difficulties and battles, Lord. Lord, will you strengthen us? Will you give us wisdom and direction? Will you allow us, Lord, to know that you're in control of everything, Lord? And although at times we may feel like giving up, Lord, you will not allow us to surrender to the things of this world, because we have been surrendered to you before. Guide us, Lord. Allow us to be your voice, your hands. Allow us, Lord, to have your heart. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.